ॐ मौनव्याख्या प्रकटित पर ब्रह्म तत्व युवानम् वर्षिष्ठान्ते वसदृशिगणैरावृतम् ब्रह्मनिष्ठैः आचार्येन्द्रम् करकलितचिन्मुद्रमानन्दरूपम् स्वात्मा रामम् मुदितवदनम् दक्षिणामूर्तिमीडे यन्नित्यमानन्दमनन्तमेकम् शिवेति नाम्ना श्रुतयो गृह्णन्ति तस्यावतारो नररूपधारी कृपासुधाब्धी भुवि रामकृष्णः जननीं शारदां देवीं रामकृष्णं जगद्गुरुं पादपद्मे तयोः श्रित्वा प्रणमामि मुहुर्मुहुः जन्माद्यस्य यतोऽन्वयात् इतरतश्चात्वेष विज्ञस्वराड् तेने ब्रह्महृताय आदिकवये मुह्यन्ति यत्सूरयः तेजोवारिमृताम् यथा विनिमयो यत्र त्रिसर्गो मृषा धाम्नास्त्वेन सदा निरस्तगुहकम् सत्यम् परम् धीमहि सत्यव्रतम् सत्यपरम् त्रिसत्यम् सत्यस्य योनिम् निहितम् च सत्ये सत्यस्य सत्यम् ऋतसत्यनेत्रम् सत्यात्मकम् त्वाम् शरणम् प्रपन्नाः मूकम् करोति वाचालम् पङ्गुम् लङ्घयते गिरिम् यत्कृपातमहम् वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवम् व्यासाय विष्णुरूपाय व्यासरूपाय विष्णवे नमो वै ब्रह्मनिधये वासिष्ठाय नमो नमः। तस्माद्येकेन मनसा भगवान् सात्वतां पतिः श्रोतव्यः कीर्तितव्यश्च ध्येयः पूज्यश्च नित्यता स वै पुंसां परो धर्मो यतो भक्तिरधोक्षजे अहैतुक्यप्रतिहता ययात्मा सम्प्रसीदति। वासुदेव भक्ति ही पुंसाम परहा धर्मः। शौनकाति ऋषिस आस्ट व्हाट इज द प्राइम ड्यूटी ऑफ ए ह्यूमन बीइंग वन हु वांट्स टू बी सिक्योर हैप्पी एंड पीसफुल। सूत मुनि उग्रश्रवस आंसर्ड फॉर दिस क्वेश्चन that devotion to the Lord is the supreme duty of a human being. Then the question came, how to cultivate that devotion to the Lord? Then he answered, Ekena manasa bhagavan shrotavyaha kirtitavyaha dhyayahcha pujyaha. With one-pointed mind, one should hear the glories of the Lord, then he should sing the glories of the Lord and meditate on the glories of the Lord. Bhagavad Katha Shravanam or Shastra Shravanam is prescribed here as the main spiritual practice. How can we do that? How to develop that Katha Ruchihi? The answer is by satsanga, association with the noble people will give you the interest in hearing noble things, stories of the Lord, stories of the devotees of the Lord. Shushusho shraddhanasya vasudeva katha ruchihi स्यान्महत्सेवया विप्रा पुण्यतीर्थनिषेवनाद्। पुण्यतीर्थनिषेवनाद् महत्सेवाया शुश्रूषा जायते। पुण्यतीर्थनिषेवनात् मीन्स् by visiting to the holy places. Visiting to the holy places means visiting the holy men and serving them. Sushusha jayate, desire to hear the glories of the Lord is born. Sushusha leads to Shraddha, then he becomes Shraddhadhanaha, a faithful one, a devotee. Then Shraddha leads to Vasudeva Katha Ruchihi. Once the faith has come, faith in the validity of the scripture, faith in the validity of the person who is explaining that scripture, faith in the validity of the Lord's grace in our life, once that comes, automatically we will try to associate ourselves with the Lord and with the scripture and the people who deal with that scripture, who people who live the life according to the scripture. Sadhus alone sow the seed of devotion in our heart. Sadhu Sangha, especially in the younger age, is really a great blessing. The idea is, human being cannot avoid association, Sangaha. Association only influences our life and attitudes. If it is Sangha of the good people, association of the good people, life becomes a noble one. If it is Sangha of Dushtas, Sangha of materialistic people, Sangha of selfish people, then life also becomes, our life also becomes materialistic, selfish and a sensory one. Then question comes, what is the criterion for a sadhu? A simple criterion is, a sadhu will be an unselfish person. He will not expect anything from anyone. And second one is, he is an independent person. For his survival, for his happiness, for his security, for his peace, he won't depend upon any individual or an object or any situation in the world. In short, a sadhu is a master of his own sense organs and mind, totally dedicated to the higher pursuits of life, totally dedicated to the Lord. Therefore, he will be unselfish and independent one. Whereas, the signs of Dushta is naturally a person who is selfish. Intrinsically, there will be selfishness in his mind. Because according to him, he lacks lot of things. So therefore, he will be a dependent one and he will be a slave of his own mind and sense organs. So in order to fulfill those lacking, he will take to the method of being selfish. Human being is the combination of both good tendencies and bad tendencies. Satsanga cultivates good tendencies, help us to cultivate good tendencies and help to have good attitudes and quality life. Whereas Dushta Sangha cultivates our bad tendencies, takes our life towards sensory pleasures and a selfish life. Dushta Sangha is more appealing and powerful also than the Satsanga. More appealing because already human mind is a weak mind, attracted towards so many small things, sensory pleasures. And Dushta Sangha is available very easily. You need not search for Dushta Sangha. In modern days, one idiot box is sitting, through that idiot box, you get dushta sangha freely, of course. Not that that idiot box is cause of that dushta sangha, not that the technology is dushta sangha, but the technology is used by dushtas. Dushtas meaning who are selfish and people with sensory pleasures. Through that technology, through that media, through that idiot box, so many nice things of human life can be spread. But unfortunately, it is corporate ridden, it is business ridden. Therefore, whatever is appealing to the mass, whatever is attractive to the mass, whatever cater the sensory tastes of the mass, so that only is given to the mass. So dushta sangha is not only available everywhere, it is very powerful also. Dushta sangha can make anyone to fall in its own net within few minutes. In Ramayana, we come across an incident wherein Kaikeyi was seduced by Mantara. Kaikeyi was very loving mother with regard to Rama. Even though Rama was the child of Kausalya Devi, actually Kaikeyi only loved Rama more. Rama also loved Kaikeyi only more than Kausalya Devi. But what happened? Because of the dushta sangha in the form of Mantara, within half an hour, you can say, her entire love was destroyed and imaginary fears were created in her mind. In order to save oneself, she has gone to that much of extreme situation. Because the ultimate judgment is Atmanastu Kamaya Sarvam Priyam Bhavati. As long as there is no quarrel between, there is no conflict of interest between love for myself and love for another one, no problem. When there is a conflict of interest between love for oneself and love for another, then naturally love for oneself is more powerful than love for another one. We saw this in the very introduction itself. Therefore, Kaikeyi, in order to save herself, her position in the entire household and palace, and her dignity in the society, so she took that extreme step of asking two boons, that Bharata should become Raja and Rama should be exiled. So dushta sangha is very powerful and appealing and available very easily, and it can trigger our weaknesses and take us to and stoop down us to any level. Everyone has this experience. Our own mind is the witness for this statement, that dushta sangha is more powerful than sadhu sangha. A sadhu may be telling the greatness of devotion, the greatness of being good, the greatness of being unselfish, and it will take to us months and years to be convinced of. But if anyone says that take care of yourself, you should be selfish, you should be very alert, you should be smart, otherwise you will be simply cheated by the society, immediately we believe, because by nature we are having this ignorance that I lack so many things, I lack security, so therefore I have to protect myself. If I don't protect myself, nobody will protect me, like that. These are all imaginary fears are there. Those imaginary fears are simply roused by the dushtas. Imaginary pleasures are simply roused by the dushtas in our mind. Then the result is simply we fall flat. If you analyze human life is governed by certain philosophy, certain convictions. and convictions always are the product of certain understanding. Understanding alone determines conviction. If you understand that leading a noble life, following the dharma, telling the truth will help you in getting success, then your conviction also will be that I will lead a noble life, I will tell truth only, I will follow dharma only. So the type of understanding determines the type of convictions. And understanding is always a product of learning. Type of learning determines the type of understanding. Type of understanding determines the type of convictions. Type of convictions determines the direction for our life, philosophy for our life. Then direction or philosophy of our life determines our struggles. Now the question comes, who determines the learning? Shastra says, learning is always determined by association. With what type of people you associate from your childhood onwards, that determines your learning. Then learning determines your understanding. Then understanding determines your convictions. Convictions determines your philosophy. Philosophy determines your direction in life. Then direction determines the type of action. Then the type of action determines sukha and dukkha. Therefore, they always told, beware of with whom you are associating with. Sangha leads to sukham and dukkham. The parampara is, the order is sangha, association to learning, learning to understanding, understanding to convictions, convictions to philosophy, philosophy to direction of life. Direction of life is equal to leads to type of action. Then type of action, if it is good, the person, if it is dharmic, the person will be happy. If it is adharmic, naturally the person will be sorrowful in life. Therefore, our Shastra parampara or Vedic culture emphasize the type of sangha should be taken care of. Dushta sangha will lead towards materialistic sensory life. Dushta sangha will convince us, will teach us, will try to give us a philosophy that kavo piyo maja karo. That is the life purpose. Go for it, if necessary, at somebody's cost also. Then the sign of satsanga is, human life has a higher dimension. Just by gaining sensory pleasures and materialistic prosperity cannot fulfill an individual, cannot fulfill the urges of inner urges of the individual. Only noble life and spiritual life and spiritual goals will fulfill the individual. This type of learning and convictions will be given by satsanga. Then the question comes, where to find out sadhus? Where they are, so that we can go and learn. For that also, in our Vedic culture, they told, rishis told, the most powerful sadhu sangha, the most powerful sadhus are available next to us in the form of our own parents. Vedic society insisted that parents should be sadhus first. They should have quality life. They should have higher philosophy. They should be convinced about the necessity of moral values, necessity of devotion, necessity of spiritual life. And they should have conviction that dharma and moksha is the primary goal of life. Artha and kama is secondary. Out of four purusharthas, dharma moksha is the primary goal of human life. Artha and kama, wealth and sensory pleasures becomes secondary goals. Wealth and sensory pleasures not neglected in our culture. Vedic culture did not neglect or did not lack in richness or wealth. If you study the history, ancient history, that our Indian culture was so great in wealth, even after looting for 1,000 years by external civilizations, external people. So many people came to India not to learn spirituality from us, not to learn morality from us, but to loot the wealth. That much wealth we had, even after looting that much of wealth, recently we found in the newspaper that our Padmanabha Swami is the richest man. Padmanabha Swami of Travancore, Bhagawan, is the richest man in the world. So we were not lacking in wealth. We were not behind in arts, in science, in literature, in music, in yoga, in Ayurveda, in architect. You go to Tamil Nadu, there is a temple called Tanjavur Temple, Tanjur Temple, Brahadeshwara Temple. People come from other civilization, they wonder how this temple is built. How this temple could be built without any modern technology, modern machineries. And the temple age is now more than 1,000 years. And now entire West is carried away by Indian yoga system, health system, then Ayurveda, then literature. Mahabharatam you take, 1 lakh shlokas, music, science, art. In every field of human pursuit, our Vedic culture was excelling. But all of them are used for the sake of dharma. All of them have goal towards establishing dharma in the society and establishing spiritual values in the society. Every department of life was centered on dharma and Bhagavan. So the very Indian soil itself is full of spirituality and religion. You cannot separate religion from the common man's life. So, Bhagavan was the center of the life of Vedic culture, Indian culture. Therefore, every scripture, Bhagavan and his leelas were central theme. If you take Bhagavatam, Bhagavatam declares, Vasudeva para Veda, Vasudeva para Amakha, Vasudeva para Yoga, Vasudeva para Kriya, Vasudeva param jnanam, Vasudeva param tapaha, Vasudeva paro dharmo, Vasudeva paragatihi. Vasudeva paraha veda. Vasudeva means pratyagatma, inner self, one's own higher nature. Here, Bhagavatam says, all the Veda, all the four Vedas have one direction, that is in revealing your own higher nature. Vasudeva para makaha. Makaha means rituals. All the rituals, religious rituals, are meant to take you to that inner knowledge. All the yoga, spiritual disciplines, all the kriya, varieties of religious actions, all are meant to go towards the Lord. And all knowledge are towards Vasudevaha, Vasudeva param jnanam. All tapas, austerity, are towards the pleasing the Lord, Vasudeva param tapaha. Vasudeva Paro Dharmaha. All the moral values will be for the sake of gaining that knowledge about that Bhagavan. And Vasudeva Para Gatihi. The ultimate goal of every human life is Vasudevaha. Sri Ramakrishna used to say, put the number 1 first, then you can add the number 0 however much you want. Without putting 1, you put any amount of 0, there is no meaning in that. But after putting 1, you add any amount of 0, every 0 is addition of every 0 is a valuable one. Zeros will have values. In short, inner fulfillment was considered as goal of life. External achievements were secondary for Indian culture. When parents have this clarity, when they have this higher philosophy, values and higher direction, naturally, children also will learn these things without any problem. This was the beautiful social infrastructure in those days available for child's quality life. Therefore, parents were considered as first guru, first teacher. Up to 7th age, whatever has to be taught was taught by the parents, especially by mother. After 7th age only, the child was sent to Gurukula. And the Gurukula also was a beautiful arrangement. It's a residential one. And this Gurukula is not in society. And generally it was situated in the forest, wherein luxury was not available. So the child who goes for learning is automatically picks up or learns how to live a meager life, how to live a life of austerity. So it was exposed to a type of life wherein poverty becomes very normal for that child. Not that child should be living a life of poverty, but the child should be taught that there is poverty. Even though you are a Rajaputra, even though you may be a son of king, the son of king also should go to this Gurukula and live with all other children the same life of tapas. All the while, from the birth onwards up to adulthood, the children were taken care of by parents and the teachers. So Mada is the first powerful teacher. Therefore, Matru Devo Bhava. Then comes Pita, Pitru Devo Bhava. Then comes Acharyaha, Acharya Devo Bhava. And Acharyas also, in those days, they were men of character. They never charged the child no fees at all. After completion of the study, whatever the child wants to give, according to the capacity of the child, the fees was taken. But that too after the completion of the study. But unfortunately, modern Indian society is missing this beautiful social infrastructure meant for the healthy growth of a child. First thing is, parents don't have clarity of thinking with regard to the purpose of life. They don't have convictions with regard to the values of dharma. They don't have quality life in their personal life. And parents are burdened by lots of economic problems. So both have to go for employment. Then naturally, the child is dumped in the play schools at the second age or third age onwards. And parents lack in values in their personal life. Compromises become very natural. A mother was beating her child. Father was witnessing it and asked, "Why you are beating?" Then mother told, see, in this engage itself, this fellow has stolen pencil from his classmates. So if this habit is allowed to grow, then it will be problem for him. Therefore, I am beating. Mother says. Then immediately father says, my dear child, if you want pencil, you could have told me. I could have brought it from my office stationery. That is the way. In the modern days, parents teach values to some extent to their children, but they don't follow. They tell to the child, speak truth, speak truth, speak truth. Naturally, in every cultured family, these things are told to the children. But when the question comes, whether parents follow it or not, when the test comes, say for example, suddenly a phone call comes and father asks, phone is from whom? Child says, so and so is online. Then father immediately says, don't tell I am here. You tell that I have gone out. The child also innocently says, my father says that he has gone out. So what happens? Satyam vada was told 1,000 times in the previous occasions. 1,000 advices are nullified by this simple compromise, simple violation of satyam in the life of father. So satyam vada becomes satyam vada. Satyam vada means tells truth. Satyam vada means kill truth. So there are lots of compromises in the life of parents. Naturally, children picks up those compromises and unknowingly they become the victims of the lapses of parents. And not only that, parents don't expose children to various healthy pursuits. The life of a child at least up to 10th standard will be school, homework, entertainment place, then home. That's all. So they don't expose children to various healthy pursuits, like taking the children to ashramas, allowing them to move with sadhus, allowing them to move with neighbors, with the people who are doing some social service, with the patriots, like that, that exposure is missing. And there is the reason for that. Now modern society is very suspicious about the one's own neighbor, opposite flat wala, whether he is terrorist or not, we don't know. So how can we allow the child to go and associate with that type of people? So these are all problems are there. And children are pampered with materialistic comforts from their childhood onwards. Children should be exposed to poverty. Even though parents are rich, at some point of time, children should be given the knowledge that there is poverty in this world. There are so many people who are deprived of even basic things. And by being born to us, you are blessed by the nature, by the Lord, with all these luxuries. This is not the criterion to disrespect the poor people. You should share with them, and by sharing with them, if necessary, you have to forego certain luxuries in your life. It is nice. Comforts may be reduced, but you will be a man of giving, a man of big heart. All these teachings should be given to the children in the younger age itself. Now parents, because of various reasons, don't have time, quality time and quality mind to take care of the children. Playhouses have become very normal in the modern society. So they pass their responsibility of bringing up children with emotional maturity to the educational institutions. Just as the second age or third age itself, child starts going to schools. So, education system, if you analyze, the very system is controlled by selfish people. Very system is controlled by ignorant politicians. And the very system is completely materialistic. Self-centric life is the main teaching. How you should assert yourself in this society. That is the main teaching. How you should share with the society, how you should participate in the society, how you should give to the society is not taught. How you should establish yourself, how you should prove yourself, how you should live a self-centered life, that is the method of teaching. There is no place for knowing our cultural heritage, knowing our ancestors, knowing our age-old literatures, knowing our patriarchs, there is no place. Syllabus don't cover psychological, cultural, ethical, moral, spiritual aspects of human life. No teachings on values or social responsibilities. And this education system doesn't allow one to be a questioning individual. You cannot have a questioning nature in your classroom. Neither in the home nor in the schools you can have this questioning nature. They may try to answer one or two small questions, but if you probe into it and go more and more, parent will tell shut up your mouth, teachers will tell get out of the class. So it is a type of a frame wherein child can grow this much only. What is that frame? Try to increase your memorization capacity. More you have that memorization capacity, more you will be considered as intelligent man, because intelligence is assessed by your mark sheet. Vomiting capacity is the sign of intelligence. And children are brainwashed that job is the goal of education. That is the reason every institution, famous institution, has a scheme called campus selection. So this institution, they declare, this institution is meant to give you a job. That means indirectly what they say, this institution is meant to give you education for the sake of the job. So job is the goal of education. Children are brainwashed that money and sense pleasures are the sign of success in life. How much you can command all these sense pleasures of the world, how many cars you can have, how much assets you can have, how many bank balances you can have, that is the sign of success in life. If wealth is the sign of success in life, then Bhagavan Sri Ramakrishna's life was a waste. He did not have money. Mahatma Gandhiji's life was a waste. If sense pleasures, capacity to have sense pleasures is the sign of success, then Swami Vivekananda's life was a waste. Those patriots who have sacrificed their entire life for the sake of political freedom of our country, they did not have any sense pleasures in their life. All their life is a waste, unsuccessful one. But children are brainwashed that wealth and sense pleasures are the sign of success in life. And learning anything not connected with money, entertainment, is a waste of time and waste of energy. Then when you come to the quality of teachers, the teachers don't have quality life, exemplary life. Teachers don't have freedom to teach values also. There are some people, maybe 5% or 10%, they are very great in the values, but still what they find that it is important for human life, these values are important for the human life, they cannot teach to the children. Because it is out of syllabus. Children themselves will tell, Teacher, this is out of syllabus. Teach something which is within the syllabus. Then administration and so many other hurdles are there. Therefore, there is no freedom to teach values in the school atmosphere. And teachers cannot take the responsibility of a child. Teachers cannot correct a child. In those days, the teacher had a freedom even to punish. But now, those things you cannot have it. You will be put up in the jail that you have done child abuse. All the activists are there. They are waiting for chance. And they are waiting for chance to serve the society. Social activists. So, they will not allow to take the personal responsibility of a child by the teacher. When both parents and teachers fail to take the responsibility, fail to guide the child, then comes an unexpected, an intruder, self-appointed teacher. Then comes a self-appointed teacher. His name is media. He is an intruder. He is ignorant, but selfish and arrogant. Media takes the responsibility of bringing up the child without the permission of parents and teachers. So nowadays, modern children, for them, Pogo is Jagat Guru. Pogo channel is the Jagat Guru. And Google Mama is the eternal companion. Children being innocent and have the capacity to trust everyone, they trust parent, they trust teachers, society, media. So they learn whatever is taught as a fact. They pick up whatever substances available without any discrimination. Generally, children learn by method of imitation. So they pick up whatever substances available without any discrimination. As even the child grows and sees the realities of life, he or she understands that parents and teachers, due to ignorance and due to many constraints, they have not guided us properly. They gave imaginary, impractical goals of life. They made us to fight with shadows of life, with unrealities of life. And the intruder, the media wala, gave me stinking substances just for the fulfillment of his own selfish interests. The media gave me stinking substances, intruded my life, personal life and my views, spoiled my character in the name of freedom of speech, freedom of expression. They have introduced me when I am not matured enough to digest, when I am not discriminate enough to know what is right and wrong. They have introduced me to so many unwanted things of life. All these grumblings will be there in the mind of a person when he grows, when he understands that he was not given proper care, childhood care. Therefore, there is no emotional bonds for him with his parents. And parents also never bothered about all those things. They bothered about mark sheets and homework. They bothered about tuition. So therefore, the child came up intellectually very bright, and the child got employment in a multinational company, and child settles in Western countries and put their own parents, its own parents, into old age home. Even if they are settled in India, they prefer to be separate. They prefer to be separate from the parents. Thus, if parents refuse to be noble, and if they refuse to give satsanga to their own children, if parents refuse to lead quality life, if they are careless with regard to following the values of life, they have to get back that. They have to get back that result of their carelessness. In the old age, they generally gets back. and society also will be in chaos without any direction, and self-appointed teacher, media wala, will have gala time, and of course corporate sector, business people can exploit you, can exploit your weaknesses and make their business prospects in a brighter way. But the actual loss is for an individual, actual loss is for the culture of this nation. There is no shanti in the mind of the individual. When there is no shanti in the mind of the individual, there is no shanti, there is no peace, there is no happiness in the society. Externally it is all a merriment, but just you feel little bit, then you will find that there are lots of chaos, lots of confusions, lots of cries in the mind of the people, and insecurity, frustration can be seen. All this could have been avoided if parents take that responsibility of guiding the child through their noble life and convictions with regard to higher purposes of human life. When a person is dissatisfied with all these external achievements, when he searches for peace, happiness and security, then he searches for sadhu sangha by himself, which was not given to him by the parents and the teachers, school teachers. And now he himself searches for that. And if he is fortunate one, and if he has that enough punya karma, our shastra says, he may get satsanga, because getting satsanga is totally due to the Bhagavan's grace. And when they come to sadhus, for sadhus, cleaning their mind, turning that mind towards Bhagavan is an uphill task, because the mind is already contaminated and it has lots of wounds and guilts. So to that mind which is afflicted by wounds and guilts and which is impure, teaching the glory of spiritual life, teaching the glory of devotion is a uphill task. You can write something in a clean slate, in a stable board, and in a clean blue board you can write. Suppose if the board is hanging, shaking, and it is full of other types of writings, first you have to clean it, then make it stable, then only you can write. Therefore, from the childhood onwards, Lord's glory, the glory of the values, the glory of the devotion, the glory of the culture, the glory of Bhagavan has to be taught to the children. Then what is the benefit of Lord's glory? Sutta Muni says, Shrinvatam Swakatam Krishnaha Punyashravana Kirtanaha Hridyantastho Hyabhadrani Vidhunoti Sukhrut Satam. Satam Sukhrut Punyashravana Kirtanaha Krishnaha Swakatam Shrinvatam. One should hear the glory of the Lord who happened to be Punyashravana Kirtanaha, who happened to be glorified by the noble people, who happened to be the friend of noble people. When we hear the glories of the Lord, what is the benefit? Hridyantastaha san abhadrani vidhunoti. When we hear the Lord's glory, then naturally Bhagavan manifests in our heart, then stays in our heart. Hridyantastaha san. When Bhagavan manifests in our heart, naturally all the kama, krodha, lobha, moha, mada, matsaryadi, abhadras, they are all not auspicious things. All these abhadras are purified from our heart. Like the soaps and detergents clean body, Krishna katha cleanses our inner mind. Then the question comes, what is the benefit of having pure mind? Nashta prayeshva bhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu. When we associate with the noble people for long period, then Abhadreshu Nashteshu, all these inauspicious things in our mind, which are in the form of anger, pride, jealous, hatred, all these are all inner enemies, they call Arishat Varga. They are six enemies, our own enemies, staying in our own mind and fed by our own whims and fancies. They are spoiling our peace, they are spoiling our happiness. When we associate with the people with noble qualities, with the devoted people, then they will tell about the glories of the Lord. Those glories will make us to understand the purpose of life, then value of the morals and ethics, and value of the quality life. Then naturally mind becomes pure. When mind becomes pure, Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Naishtiki Bhakti Bhavati. In Lord, we will develop Naishtiki Bhaktihi. Naishtiki Bhaktihi means devotion without any motive. All our devotions are with certain motives. Either it is Sadhana Bhakti or Sadhya Bhakti. If you remember the introduction class, either it is Sadhana Bhakti or Sadhya Bhakti. We go to temples and pray to Lord either as a means for some other thing. We want him to be a servant, or with particular end from the Lord. But sadhus don't sell their devotion for worldly things. When sadhus pray, when sadhus sing bhajans, then if you observe that all these are all not for gaining any worldly things. But still, why they are devoted to the Lord, intensely devoted to the Lord? Because they know that Lord is more precious, more beautiful, more relevant in their life. Once this conviction comes, immediately the devotee is ready to give anything for the sake of a loved one, which happened to be Bhagavan himself. In Ramayana, we come across an incident wherein Hanumanji and other monkeys were sent to various places in search of Sita. One group keeping Angada as the leader, and Hanumanji and other monkeys came towards the south. So when they reached the seashore, the last end of the land in South India, Rameshwaram, they found after that they cannot move because it is full of oceanic waters. But there Sampati, a bird, told that Sita was taken by a Rakshasa Ravana, and Ravana's place is Lanka. So one has to cross this Lanka, which has 100 yojanas, then only one can find Sita. When it was told, all the monkeys thought, oh, this much only our power, we cannot go ahead. But Hanuman's bhakti, what happened? Hanuman's bhakti for Rama, what happened? It made him to grow huge in form, cross the ocean in one jump, found out Sita, and advised Ravana, killed the many Rakshasas who were obstacle in finding Sita, and burnt Lanka symbolically and came back. When Hanumanji comes back, all the monkeys were shouting, Aho Swamini Te Bhaktihi. Aha, what a devotion, what a devotion, what a wonderful devotion. Your devotion made you to cross 100 yojana distance. Your devotion made you to cross the ocean, and your devotion made you to find out Sita and advise Ravana face to face, and even burn the Lanka, but our devotion are only limited devotion. We could not do that. So real devotee don't have any limitation in his faith. Therefore, without sadhu sangha, you can never know what is real devotion. What is a devotion without any selfish motives? Hanumanji never bothered what will happen if I could not jump in one jump, because no chance. If a chance is missed, you will be under the sea waters. So he did not have any fear, he did not have any doubt about the purpose of his going and the capacity, and in his own inner capacity. The result is grand things happen in the life of a devotee. So with purity of mind, with born out of sadhu sangha, one should find out this real devotion. Then what is a benefit of this real devotion? Evam prasanna manaso bhagavad bhakti yogatah bhagavat tattva vijnanam mukta sangasya jayate vidyate hrutaya granthihi chidyante sarva samshayah kshiyante chasya karmani drishta evatmani ishvare. When mind is purified, when mind is full of devotion, then naturally vairagyam is the result. Vairagyam means you convert yourself as a giver. From the beggarliness, you convert yourself as a giver, giver even to the Lord. Once you convert yourself as a giver, then atma jnanam, tattva jnanam is the result. When vairagyam comes, immediately there will be someone to teach you the tattvam. Then when tattva jnanam comes in our mind, vidyate hrutaya granthihi, samsara is this going and coming, this repeated birth and death cycle is simply cut asunder. Kshiyante asya karmani, all the punya papa karmas are simply washed away. When atmani ishvare drishte, when Bhagavan is seen as identical with oneself, that moment all the samsara goes away. The conclusion is, as you have duty towards your family members, to the society, to the nation, so you have duty towards yourself also. And all the duties are role done by you. In order to perform all those roles in a healthy manner, you should know what is your strength and what are all your weaknesses. And the core individual should have health, intrinsic health. That core individual is playing that role, all the roles. If that core individual is disturbed, if the core individual doesn't have higher direction, higher philosophy, higher values in life, naturally all the roles will get affected. Therefore, every individual should seek sadhu sangha in order to find out security, peace and happiness. With regard to the core individual, every individual should seek sadhu sangha. Getting sadhu sangha is the highest blessing of the Lord. Sitaji says in Ramayana to Ravana, Ravana, you were cheated by all the gods of the heaven. Then Ravana asks, how can you say Sita? I was blessed by Shiva himself, and I was blessed by Brahmaji, that nobody can kill me. No Devata can kill me, no Asura, no Gandharva, no Yaksha can kill me. I am Triloka Chakravarti and plenty of wealth. And even I could beat Kubera. So I have so many external achievements. In what way I am lacking? How can you say that I am cheated by devatas? Then Mother Sita says, Ravana, I accept that all these external achievements you got, but devatas did not give you one satsanga. If that satsanga, if you would have that satsanga, that sadhu would have told, hey, taking somebody's wife is not proper. Even though Vibhishana told, even though Maricha told, even though others told, Jatayu told, since you did not consider them as sadhus, you were not ready to take the benefit of the of their association, you are deprived of sadhu sangha. Therefore, the Ramayana teaching is what? A person may gain so many things, all the external things to the extent of Ravana's glory, but still if he doesn't have sadhu sangha, his life will be an utter failure. Therefore, getting sadhu sangha is the highest blessing of the Lord. And parents are the first noble people, first sadhus a child has to meet, and then teachers, and then society. If parent, teachers, society don't give satsanga, then what you have to do? Then it is your duty to find out. If your parent don't give money, you find out money. If your parent don't give you education, you go work hard and get education. Similarly, if your parent don't give satsanga, then it is your duty to seek that satsanga. And this human birth is very rare, cannot be wasted in sense pleasures and external achievements only, though they have certain role in our life, but still they cannot be prime purpose of life. They can be secondary, and they should be governed by dharmic values. Sense pleasures and external achievements should be governed by dharmic values, and they should be given higher direction. If you are interested in Atma Samprasadanam, Atma Triptihi, then seek Sadhu Sangha. Sadhu Sangha will tell you the glories of the Lord, glories of the values, and glories of the higher philosophy of life. Then, when you are convinced, when you lead your life according to Dharma, naturally your mind will be purified. When the mind gets purification, Vairagyam, you will be a giver, you will be a Vairagi, then you will get Jnanam, then you will be a free person. You will find out that ultimate love, Siddha Bhakti in your life. So, entire Bhagavatam is summarized in three topics. First, prime duty of an individual is finding this Siddha Bhakti. And what is the means for that? Shastra Shravanam is the means, is the second topic. Then Sadhu Sangha is the means for Shastra Shravanam. So Satsanga, Shastra Shravanam, and finding Siddha Bhakti, devotion to the Lord, will be repeatedly told in the Bhagavatam. Entire Bhagavatam is told here in a comprehensive way by Suta Muni. Then comes the story of Bhagavan Vyasacharya. Shavanakadi rishis will ask how the Bhagavatam literature was written by Vyasacharya. Those details we will see in the next class. Krishnaya Vasudevaya Haraye Paramatmane Pranadakleshanashaya Govindaya Namo Namaha Tadeva ramyam ruchiram navam navam tadeva shashvan manaso mahotsavam tadeva shokar navashoshanam drunam yeduttama shloka yashonugiyate gopika jivanasmaranam govinda govinda.